Blog Talk Radio.
To what the Most High says. And so we want to look at this this topic right in our own eyes on this morning so that we understand that we're to do what the Most High says to do, not to do what we think is right. And so in order to do that, we have to know what he says, which means that, you know, we have to really be studied in the Word. And if we're not studied in the Word, then we really need to have somebody that we can ask, what does the Word of the Most High say about this? And then we need to have somebody who has a connection with the Most High that they can get a word through, that something that is not specifically written in the Scriptures, that you can get a revelation. And a lot of people, you know, especially my Hebrew brothers and sisters, don't necessarily believe in revelations if it's not written. That, you know, the Most High can't reveal something to someone that is not written. But, you know, he says that he does that he reveals. And so even in the understanding of the Scripture, he reveals things that are not written. Sometimes it's just for you. Sometimes it's for the masses. So we're going to look at that topic on today. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the Internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, no matter where you may be listening to us at, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me take a look at something here real quick. Didn't check this morning. Always like to look and see if we picked up new countries, because the goal of the ministry is to minister to, you know, our Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters that are in the diaspora all over the world, and then for, you know, to deliver the gospel to every nation, because the gospel is for everyone. I was up late last night, you know, and doing some studying and some reading, and I ran across a site concerning our history. So I was looking for something, you know, for our study on Sundays. And I think I found the perfect site with anything that you would ever want to know. But what I love about the site is they're quoting their sources, and a lot of their sources aren't just coming from, you know, you can't find the source in the U.S. Or it is so well hidden that you won't be able to find it. But, you know, they were able to dig this stuff up, you know, and I really want to contact this brother and his team, just a team, and commend them, and then ask them, you know, how can I contribute as far as research and that kind of stuff. So I can pick up some of their habits and things like that. But I'm going to share the site, you know, with everybody, with, you know, my entire, with the entire congregation, those that listen online and those that call in and attend the lessons, those that used to listen, because some people have had, you know, disagreements as far as, let's say, is the 12 tribe chart real? Because, you know, we want to, you know, people want to be inclusive, but the 12 tribe chart, you know, when you actually examine it and go through it and understand that you don't get many different ethnicities, many different races from two or three people. Okay, the Most High has to be involved in it, and so it doesn't, you know, there's nowhere in Scriptures where they came up with this 12 tribe chart that explains how they got what they got, because, you know, there's a big difference in the ethnicities of people, and you can go back, you know, the people that they're claiming are us as part of the 12 tribes, we're not linked anywhere. Not through the blood, not, you know, not anywhere. And so if you don't, you know, when people first start studying and they, you know, first come into this walk, they hear things, you know, they are zealous, they are excited, they, you know, they're wanting to hear and know more and more and more, and there's so much information out there that it takes time to wade your way through it and to, you know, go before the Most High. Is this true? Let me find, you know, let me verify. I get a lot of information, emails from people, and, you know, a lot of times I don't share what they sent me, because when I go in and look up the source, I'm like, you know, this source is not, it's not credible. It is, it'll tell you right on their site. The information that we give you is for entertainment purposes only. So they can give you what they call fake news. They can give you fake facts. They can spin the story and not give you the truth. We're going to give you our opinion. And our opinion may not be based upon fact. And so, you know, I don't share those things. So we're supposed to verify, you know, anything that you're reading, that you're studying, you don't take anything for face value until you find out that it's a credible source. And then you find out that how they go about things is credible, that they have integrity. Then you can take it at face value. You can say, yeah, I've learned to trust this particular site or this particular individual because they have integrity. They're not just saying stuff. They're not just trying to, they're not trying to form some type of point of view that happens to be their own. And so everything that they report, you know, supports their point of view, whether it's true or not. They're just using it. That's not integrity. You know, there are some things that, you know, we can find in the scriptures and in history that we may not like, but it's a fact. And you still have to use it. You still have to, you know, use it as part of your analysis to come to the truth. So I found this site, and I think I'd seen it before and then lost it. But this time, you know, when I found it again, and I was, you know, looking at a video, and I was going through, you know, the documentation, it's a very good site that actually proves beyond a shadow of a doubt who we are as a people and what our history is and where, how we got to where we are today. Not just biblically, but, you know, writings by the Portuguese and other societies that knew of us and wrote about us, but you won't hear people teaching it. You won't hear people saying it, you know, who describe who the quote-unquote Jews are, so forth and so on. But you would never hear this stuff. So I'm going to share it, and I think that, well, I know, I don't think. I know that as far as our Black history study, we're going to utilize this site because it's just well put together, it's well documented, covers just about anything that you would ever want to research concerning this topic. And also gives you a set of tools that you can use when, if you so are inclined. At one time in my life, I was inclined to debate the scriptures and to debate history and to challenge people in their understandings. That's no longer where I'm at. The Most High has me on salvation. But for those of us who may be interested in this area or who just want to know the truth, about this subject in particular, and want, you know, hard proof that, you know, it's just unrefutable, you know, and how to handle questions about our people. It's just a very good site. You know, we're not monolithic. We don't all believe the same things, and that's just the truth of the matter. But then, what is the truth? Out of all the stuff that we believe as a people, you know, we're like any other group or race of people. We don't believe, all of us don't believe everything the same way. And just because you believe something doesn't make it true, no matter who we are. But what do the facts support? And this site is very good about, you know, laying out the facts. And then you can, you know, make your own decision. Maybe you can be corrected in an area. Maybe you had it right all along. But I think for us, in our studies, we are going to use this site and use some of the tools that they have just for our own understanding. And then if you happen to get into a conversation with your family, and I'm, you know, I told you, as far as the Gentiles go, we are not supposed to be telling anybody who we are. And that's in the scripture. That's in Ezekiel chapter 36. We're not supposed to tell them. We're not in our land. And he, you know, he says, you're causing the people to profane my name. And so, but amongst our own selves, amongst your family, amongst your friends who are African-American, so-called Negro, then you should use this tool, you know, to show them as a tool to help them see who they are, because we are, the vast majority of our people are still lost and unlearned. And so it's not a sin to tell your own people. Then say you cause, you know, you can't cause your own brother and sister who are already profaning the name of the Most High to profane his name. But once you educate them, perhaps they will come out of it and keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. So the video I was watching last night did a very good job of documenting and explaining how Christianity, the changes in Christianity, and just like we believe in Messiah, and how, but we believe in keeping the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, and how Christianity has taken that and they don't believe in the statutes, laws, and commandments. And that's the biggest difference, okay? And a lot of our people are in the churches under these doctrines. And so this particular film documents and showed very well what papal bulls, what popes did this, and how they, you know, changed from keeping, you know, made it illegal for the Christian church to keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. And so, you know, I'm going to also forward out that link. But very good documentation. And so I was up kind of tired this morning, but up, you know, real late, just listening and studying and then going back over some of the material I have and comparing notes. And I said, yeah, I'm going to use this site because it is well documented. They have their sources. I believe that it will truly help us as a people as we study. We want to study to show ourselves approved. And this is, you know, no matter where you're at in the world. And again, even to the Gentiles, if you want to give them this site, you know, I wouldn't debate with them, but I would give them the site and let them look for themselves, okay? But for your own family, those of us that are of color, your own family and your friends who are of color, who are, you know, in the Americas, if they're overseas, wherever they're at, this is a very good site, very well done. And so I haven't found anything on the site that I can disprove, and they got a lot of information. You know, I couldn't find anything that I could disprove, and I haven't looked at everything yet, but they seem to have integrity. And, you know, and integrity is very important, you know, you hear things, but you verify what you hear. So I will be sending it out later today. This morning, as we go into this precept, we have to be of the mindset, must be of the mindset, that we're going to obey the Most High. He knows what's best for us. And it has always been Israel's problem and the world's problem to want to do what we think is right. And so I found, you know, when I found this one verse that actually led me into this precept a long time ago, and I said, wow, this one verse really sums up the problem with mankind, but specifically with Israel and with, you know, today with the Christian church, the body of believers. If we are not educated in the word, then trust me, we're doing what's right in our own eyes. And so we're going to look at this thing on this morning. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High as we do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe during this night. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for allowing us another day that we should worship and worship you and to glorify you and to magnify you and to learn about you, oh Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah to you, oh Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. We glorify you and magnify you on this morning. We lift you up. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you walk contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us, and we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we ask that you would, and we won't complain about the punishment that you've placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. We ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears back toward us, and that you would hear our supplications and our prayers and deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Mashiach, that they would come and hear your voice and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgression wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 7. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Messiah himself, if you love me, keep my commandments, May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. That which is right in your own mind. Let us start this off in Deuteronomy chapter 12. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. And I want us to understand that at this time, the Most High had just brought Israel out of Egypt, and they still got an Egyptian mentality. And understand that for all practical purposes, our forefathers were Egyptian. When the Most High sent Jacob and the patriarchs, the 12 sons, Joseph was already there with the other 11 sons and their families into Egypt. They were living in the land of Canaan. They didn't have a land. They were, sheep herders, and they wandered around. They went wherever the grass was green. That was their lifestyle. So when we look at, some films, when you look at films of a lot of people who still practice sheep herding, they are nomadic. They have to take the sheep where the grass is green. And our forefathers were like that, okay? And so when he brings them into Egypt, they don't necessarily have a country. They haven't been settled anywhere, for a long time. And so he brings them into Egypt. And for 215 years, they live in Egypt. And you got the vast majority of our people, well, even at this time, when they come out of Egypt, none of the people that came out of Egypt were born anywhere else but in Egypt. Everybody that was alive, all they knew was Egypt. There was none of the people that originally came into the land from Canaan that were alive. When Moses delivered them, none of those people were alive and part of that first generation that came into Egypt. So all of our forefathers, all of our ancestors as far as came out of the Exodus were born in Egypt. So this is something that, we rarely look at it that way, but that's the truth of the matter. The scriptures in Exodus chapter 1 tell us that everybody that came in with Jacob, all of that generation died out. When you get to Exodus chapter 1, it says all of that generation died out. The brothers, the 12 brothers, Joseph, the other 11 brothers, and their children that they had coming into the land died out. And then it picks it up, with this Pharaoh that comes into, that gains power, that did not know Joseph. Okay. And so for all practical purposes, all our people knew was Egypt. They didn't know Canaan. They didn't know, Ur of the Chaldeans. They didn't know any of that. They knew Egypt. And when the Most High brings them out, they have an Egyptian mentality. Even though he has kind of kept them separated and they know of him, but they have an Egyptian mentality. It's like we're born in the U.S. We've never been to Israel as far as, I have never been to Israel. One of my goals is to try to make it to Israel, not to move there to live, but to just go and see and visit. But this is the only country I've ever known as far as living. Well, I can't say that because I was in the military and traveled to a lot of places. But as far as calling home and living in it, the U.S. is what I would call home. It's all that I've really ever known as far as home. And so I don't have a German mentality. I don't have a South American mentality. I have an American mentality. And so all of us that are in the U.S. would have that. Wherever you're at in the world, you would have that mentality. So if the Most High were to gather us all up today and bring us back into the wilderness, we would have all these different mentalities based upon where we grew up at. And so in this case, all of our forefathers, those that came out of Egypt, all they knew was Egypt. Israel as a nation did not exist yet. The Most High is bringing them out. He sent Jacob and our forefathers into Egypt to become a nation, to become a nation. It's when they get enough people, he brings them out as a nation, and he establishes the nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel at that time has an Egyptian mentality. So understand that. Think like an Egyptian. They have Egyptian ways. There are some things that they're not doing that the Egyptians are doing, like they're not worshiping cows. But they're doing some. They're worshiping some of the things that the Egyptian worship. And so the Most High has got to bring this mentality out of them. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. And we're seeing the what is being spoken of this in the beginning. These are the statutes and the judgments. As I said, we're quick to say we keep the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High. But we don't ever say that we keep the judgments of the Most High. And this is critical. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah thy Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods. Now, we are in our captivity and we're scattered, and they serve in this country alone. Whatever you want to worship, you can worship. You're free to worship it. Whatever you want to worship, an ashtray, and you say that's your God in this country, the United States of America. I can't speak for other countries, so you guys excuse me who are everywhere else in the world, but look at your own country and see what is the attitude toward worshiping other deities. You know, is Christianity or belief in the Most High Elohim, is it tolerated or is it just tolerated? They have their own gods that they serve, and the Most High is just one of those gods that they serve. You got to look at, you know, what is the mentality wherever you're at. But in the U.S., the Constitution of the United States says the separation of church and state. And so two different governments, and whatever you want to believe in and whatever you want to worship, you can worship. That's the reason that, one of the reasons they say they broke away from the King of England and the Catholic Church at that time, because the Catholic Church controlled Europe. And they didn't totally get away from the Catholic Church. But they wanted to be able to worship whatever they wanted to be able to worship, okay? And so in this country, whatever you want to worship and whatever you want to say is God, according to the law of the land, you should be able to worship it. That's why you have all these different churches, you have all these different denominations, you have all these different philosophies. You can't really come against them according to the Constitution, because they are authorized by the Constitution to serve and worship whatever they want to worship. Freedom of religion. And if it's freedom of religion, it means freedom to worship whatever you want to worship. So, but our God says that we were to destroy. Wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods. When we are in our own land, there's only supposed to be one God. That's the Most High, Elohim. Now, I will give it to the Muslims and to most of them who are, you know, what we call radical Islam. If you go to their country and you talk smack about Allah, you're going to die. You're going to get seriously hurt. Okay, the Most High tells us that we were supposed to, in our own land, not tolerate the worship of other gods. Now, we're not in our own land, okay? And what we are doing is to convert people. That means that if you're going to convert somebody to what you believe in, you got to really believe what you believe in. Not just in word, but in what? Deed also. But let's listen to what his instructions were to Israel. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. Baal altars were in the high mountains, up in the high places. Asherah, where they get Easter and stuff from, her temples and stuff were in the valleys. And they built up what they call asherims, little tiny forests that were dedicated to the worship of her. And what they did in those forests, I don't really know. I don't think I ever really looked to see what they did because I never really wanted to know. It's like I used to admin in a chat room online. You know, people would come in from all over the world, all over the U.S., and we would keep Sabbath and have studies and have Sabbath service in there. And one Sabbath, the sister who was also an admin, she owned the room, she allowed a brother to play a satanic ritual. Literally, a satanic ritual on the Sabbath in the room. And, yeah, I got upset about it. And you know, I told him, hey, you got to cut this off. I said, number one, it's the Most High Sabbath. And why? What would make you play something satanic and say that, you know, you're studying? I said, what do you even need to know how they worship Satan? For what purpose is this? And then especially on the Most High Sabbath. And so this is inappropriate and uncalled for. And, you know, they were like, you upset for, and I said, I'm not upset for no reason. I said, this is crazy. I said, I'm, you know, the spirit that is in you, I'm seriously questioning it right now. Because anybody in their right mind would not allow this, would not even, you know, even consider it. And so the fact that he is and you're allowing it makes me seriously question, you know, your walk in your faith. If you can't discern that you shouldn't do this, especially on the Most High Sabbath. It's like coming into, it's like going down into a satanic temple and then you start playing a church service. Everybody going to turn around and look at you like, what's wrong with you? We don't worship that God in here. And so, it was craziness. So he tells us to all these places that they are serving their gods in the high mountains. That's why when he says in the high places, when you do your studies, then you learn that they worship Baal, the god in the, one of the gods in the Bible, Molech. They worship them in the high places. And when you're reading the scriptures, you know, you will find that, you know, even when Israel was coming into the land, when Balaam was making sacrifices, it tells you that he was up in the high mountains. That's why it's important when you're reading in the New Testament and when the woman at the well says, in this mountain, we say we worship in this mountain, and you say that we should worship at Jerusalem. Why are they worshiping up in the mountain? And even Solomon and all the kings were going up in these mountains doing this stuff, not doing what the Most High said. Okay, so this is where they worship Baal, and somehow people think that the higher up in the air they can get, the closer they are to the Most High. I think that's, you know, maybe a mentality there. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High said, no, don't do that. And this is where, you know, they were worshiping, the nations were worshiping their gods, especially the nations that we were taking over. And you shall overthrow their altars and break down their pillars and burn their groves with fire. The groves were in trees of groves that they were growing. And you shall hew down and cut down their graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Now we are very, you know, that's why I say when we go back to Israel, if we're saying we're going back to Israel to occupy, then if we're following this book, especially the Holy Land, we couldn't allow any of those things in our quote-unquote land. You know, being homosexual and worshiping, even though the main religion in Israel today is supposed to be quote-unquote Judaism, Judaism tolerates a lot of other religions in the land. The people who the people who are controlling the land today are allowing a lot of different religions and a lot of different gods in the land, even Satan. And one of the biggest populations in Israel today is the homosexual population. One of the biggest in the world, homosexual, in Israel. And so if we were going back to take it over and we were going back to clean up the land, he tells us that we are supposed to burn down all those places, especially in our own land, that they're worshiping false gods, that they are doing this stuff. Now, when if you go back into, well, we'll read it now, in this era, and when I mean by era, this time frame, when you go back into this time frame, the Most High is telling Joshua and the people, Joshua, go into the land, and all these false gods and all these cities, every city that I send you into to take it over, look at their look for their holy places, tear down their holy places, burn everything about them. Cut down their images and burn them. And, you know, the people are not going to give up their God that easy, so they were going to have to kill these people as well. Because people, you know, most people, when it comes to their God, they will believe in it with their whole, with their life. Somehow when we come to, quote unquote, Israel or Christianity, then we don't necessarily do that. Okay, and we're of the mindset, you know, let everybody worship what they want to worship or who they want to worship. But our God is telling us, no, we ourselves are not supposed to be tolerant of that. And we're not supposed to allow the worship of other gods among us when we understand. That's why I say it's important that we have our own communities so that we can enforce that there are no other deities being worshipped among us. If we are all separate and we're all, you know, separated and isolated from each other, we are all going to different places, then there's no standard that you can enforce. You can't enforce this standard. And so he's telling us that, you know, you're not to allow any other God. It's not to be tolerated. So somebody comes into the group and they're talking about, well, I don't really believe everything and I practice some of these things. You don't just accuse them of witchcraft or whatever. You don't allow them to stay. Okay, because that's leavening. And you're not even supposed to inquire as to how they worship their God. Don't even ask them what the name of their God is. It's not to be tolerated. Okay. So this is Joshua, the same name as Messiah. And this is, he's a type of Messiah when you really understand what the Most High is saying on a micro level. Joshua, Yeshua, go in and clean up the land. Tear down their altars of all their false gods. Tear down all their images. Burn them up. Burn up anything that they used for worship. Take that God's name out of the land. Destroy it out of the land. That's what he told Joshua to do to Israel. And this is what he's saying right here. And when Messiah comes back, Joshua again, but not the same person. Same name. When he comes back again, he's going to do it on a global scale, not just in Israel. He's going to do it on a global scale. He's not going to let the names of other gods remain in the earth. That's why it says, in the Lord's name, and Yah's name shall be one. It'll be the only name that men know and worship. Because he's going to destroy all these other false religions. Only supposed to be him. So when you read this right here, understand that Messiah, when he returns, he's going to do this on a global scale. He's going to overthrow their altars of every false god that there is. He's going to break down their pillars, the pillars that hold up their places of worship. If they have any statues, if they grow any type of grove or any type of plants that they dedicate to these deities, he's going to burn all that up, their crosses, everything. Any images that they have that they're not supposed to have. That they're, you know, when I was in the Catholic Church, they have statues of Mary and Jesus that they bow down to. When you first come in, you kneel to it, take a knee to it. He says, you're not supposed to do that. So when I'm 9 years old, you know, my mother is sending us to the Catholic Church, and I'm reading the Bible, and I asked the father, well, why are we doing this? He had no answer, and I told my mother, no, I'm not going back there again. I'm not going there to worship because they're not following what's in the book. And I knew this at 9 years old. They're contradicting what's in the book. And so Messiah, when he returns, he's going to tear down all this stuff. Just know that he's going to do it on a global scale. And we're going to help him. All those who are alive, and that he gives authority, they got to make sure that they clean up all false worship in the land on a global scale. It can only be one. You shall not do so unto Yah your Elohim. Don't tear down my stuff. Don't build temples for me everywhere. Don't put altars for me up on the mountains, down in the valley. In the forest, wherever they've been worshiping their gods, don't do that to me. But unto the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you come. Don't build me a church on every corner. Don't build me a synagogue every place. Only the place that I put my name. Only the place that I tell you. There's not supposed to be all these different places to worship the Most High. He says, I ain't putting my name everywhere like that. I'm not going to do that. So don't do to me what these nations have done. And there shall you bring your burnt offering, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herd, and of your flocks. And there shall you eat before Yah your Elohim, and you shall rejoice in all that you do, all that you put your hands unto, you and your households, wherein Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee. So I don't want you worshiping and throwing up a building everywhere. We are supposed to make trips to Jerusalem for the feast days. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of us can't afford to do it. Okay? And the Most High, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, I have to find the chapter, is when your borders increase. Then he understood that you're not going to always be able to make it back to Jerusalem. Okay? But the commandment says 3 times in a year. Shall your males, all your males, appear before me. And so I know that we're in transgression in that, at least I am, I'm a male, and I'm not going there at least 3 times a year. But where am I going to go in Jerusalem? They don't have the temple. So it's kind of that we can't keep it, that law. Okay, but when he reestablishes himself in the earth, we're going to be required to keep that. But the mindset, what I want us to understand, the mindset that we're supposed to be having, we're not supposed to be tolerating everything that people want to do, the way they want to worship, what they bow down to. And we definitely can't tolerate it amongst ourselves. And everybody can't have their own opinion about who we are worshiping and how he should be worshiped, because he tells us. Verse 7 again. And there you shall eat before Yah your Elohim, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hands unto, you and your households, wherein Yah thy Elohim has blessed thee. You shall not do after all these things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Don't do that. What they were doing, everybody that came out, they didn't all have the same heart to worship the Most High the same way. And so the Most High is establishing among them, don't look at these nations and what they're doing. Tear down, if it's their holy places, tear them down. If you find anything that they use to worship their God in their home, because I'm going to give you, remember when he brought Israel out of Egypt, one of his promises to Israel was, I'm going to give you the promised land, and you're going to live in houses that you did not build, that you didn't build. So it's not like he's saying, I'm going to bring you into the promised land and you're going to have to build every single structure, every building. No, you're going to take over these cities and their holy places you're going to destroy. But their homes and city centers and all that stuff, you're going to inhabit. You're not going to build those things. They're going to be already built. And then you're going to clean them out. If you find something of worship to another god in one of those places, you bring it out into the street and you burn it up. So one of the first things that Israel was supposed to do when they conquered a city was to go through all of the buildings. And if it was a sanctuary, they were to destroy it. Most of us says, I'm not putting my name in there where they worship another god. But if it was a home or some type of city building or what have you, then they were to clean it up. They would find those holy things, and they would bring it out into the middle of the street, and they would burn it up, okay? And then they would inhabit that building. They would cleanse that building as by fire, not burn up the building, but the holy things that people used to worship. So they found a statue of some deity in somebody's home that family worshiped. Then they were to burn it up. Then they still could inhabit that home. But when it came to the sanctuary or the temple in that city, they were to destroy it. Mosiah says, don't put my name there. I'm going to tell you where you are to come and worship me at. Okay? So you shall not do after all these things which we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. That mentality today, if you are not studied and you don't know what the Most High says, how to worship him, then when it comes to doing whatever you're doing what's right in your own eyes. That's what we have to understand. We have to learn of his ways. What does he accept? What does he not accept? And a lot of the things that people are teaching are not true about him. They're just flat out lies. They make up a God in their own mind, or they take certain scriptures and they make up, this is all that the Most High is about. So we want his love and his kindness. We want his mercies. We want his grace. But we don't want the terrible things that he's going to do. We don't want that, you disobey him, he will kill you. We don't want that part of him. So they make up this doctrine that's right in their own eyes because that's the kind of Elohim that they want. So we want an Elohim that will only do good to us, that understands that we are frail and that we are weak and that, you know, we make mistakes. He says, yeah, I understand that until I don't understand it. And as long as you're doing something in ignorance, I'll be lenient with you. Because you don't know that it's wrong and you're doing it. But the day you find out that it's wrong and you continue doing it, I'm not accepting that. That's the difference. Okay? So people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. That's, like I said, that's why we got all these different denominations. Well, I believe this, and I believe the scripture says that. And I can't accept that. I just can't believe that the Most High Elohim, God, would do that. I couldn't worship a God that would do that. Right in their own eyes. What's right? Whatever they feel is right. He says, don't inquire after these gods. Don't inquire as to how these people serve their God. And don't do anything to me that they did to their God. Don't worship me in any kind of way that they worship their God. Don't call me by the name that they call their God. Don't call me by a term of endearment that they call their God. You know how you might be in a relationship and you have a term of endearment that you call your mate, whether it's baby or what have you. And then you get out of that relationship and you go into another relationship. And you call another person by that same term of endearment. Let's say that whatever, you know, you don't have a personal term of endearment for them. Sometimes we call it a nickname. And you call that next person the same thing, whatever that nickname is. Wait a minute. Didn't you call so-and-so that? Why are you calling me that? This is what the Most High is saying. I don't want you to worship me and use any type of term of endearment that you use to worship another God. But those are in other places. Verse 9. For you are not yet as yet come to rest and to the inheritance which Yah your Elohim giveth thee. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Yah your Elohim giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which Yah your Elohim shall choose. When you have settled down and you have cleaned up the land, you're dwelling in safety, then I'm going to tell you, because right now you're a warring nation, and you're going from, you know, we are traveling, and we're going throughout the land. And I'm traveling with you in the tabernacle. I go before you to lead the way. But once we have cleaned this place up and you dwell in safety, then I'm going to give you a place to come and worship me. Okay? Then there shall be a place which Yah your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There you will bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand and all the choice vows which you vow unto Yah. And you shall rejoice before Yah your Elohim and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levites that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that you see. Don't offer to me everywhere. This is from the beginning. And then it had gotten when we were, I think it's in Leviticus, is where he gives this edict that I found. Because as I said, at one time, it was in my heart to do an animal sacrifice to the Most High, not for sin, because animal sacrifices, as I said in the scriptures, not all sacrifices were for sin. And some of them, most of them, were as a sweet smell in his nostrils. And before I committed that act, and this is a thought that was many years old. You know, it was something that I had been contemplating. Most I would really like to make a sacrifice to you, a peace offering or a free will offering to you. I know, I understand how the altar is supposed to be built out of, you know, out of earth, out of stones that have not been cut. Go out into the wilderness, get the stones, make an altar, make a sacrifice like Abraham did, like, you know, our forefathers did. He said, don't do it. Only bring it to the door of the tabernacle, and once the temple was built, to the door of the temple. And then when that was destroyed, there was no place for us to bring an animal sacrifice. It's not that all sacrifices are done away with. They are, because there is no temple and an altar where the Most High has placed his name to do that animal sacrifice. And we know that when we did the study of the third temple, he's going to reinstitute the animal sacrifices, because they are a sweet smell in his nostril. And he never wanted those sacrifices for sin. He allowed them until Messiah came for sin. I need to make an atonement for you so that you can be in right relationship with me, so that I can clean you up, so that you can come back to me if you have sinned during the year. So he allowed the animal sacrifices for sin. But he says once Messiah came, then there is no more animal sacrifice for sin. He is that sacrifice. And I'm having the altar and the temple destroyed because they have corrupted my house. Not only were our forefathers worshiping the Most High in there, they were worshiping other deities in his house. That's the equivalent of a woman bringing a man to her house that her husband has given her and entertaining and sleeping with him there in the house that her husband is providing for her, is giving to her, even if she's out paying for it. It's the same thing. So he says, you know, when we read in Ezekiel chapter 9, when the Most High showed me that, and the brother, you know, turned me on to that, I was like, I don't think I've really looked into that chapter in depth. And when I went and looked at it in depth, Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9, I was like, whoa. Now, why I hadn't seen it like that before, maybe the Most High didn't allow me to see it. But when it was time, he allowed me to see it for what it was. And our forefathers committed adultery in the Most High's house and worshiped everything in his temple, in his house. So I was like, wow. That's why he says, only you have I loved, but you went a-whoring after other gods. And they did it in his house. And that's what got us scattered. Not accepting Messiah and worshiping other deities in his house. So what he said he would do, he did. Okay, let's continue. So only in the place that he says he's going to put his name were we to bring our burnt offerings. He says, I'm not going to put my name every place. I'm not going to put my name on every high mountain. I'm not going to put it on every street corner. I'm not going to put it in every city. But only in the place where I'm going to put my name, that's where I want you to bring your burnt offerings. Notwithstanding, verse 15, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, according to the blessings of Yah thy Elohim, which he has given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. A lot of our people, following after the Gentiles, want to eat their meat, you know, medium rare, some blood coming out of it. Want to eat the fat. He said, you ain't going to eat the blood, because the blood is the life of the thing. And so that's why if it's kosher, then all the blood has been drained out. supposed to be blood drained out and it being blessed, and among some other things that make it kosher. But even if it's not kosher and you're eating chicken or you're eating steak or any kind of meat like that, you're supposed to cook it well. Not supposed to be any blood on it. And you're supposed to trim the fat off of it. Because the Most High said the fat is His. So you can leave the fat on it while you're cooking it. But after you cook it, you better cut it off or cut it off before. Because the fat is His. Okay? Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn. So this is His holy thing. The tithe. He says you can't eat this within His gate. So at this time, we were an agrarian, a farming a farming type of people. We were wanderers before with our sheep. The Most High says, no, I'm going to bring you into a land. You're not going to be moving around no more. You can still grow sheep. You can grow your crops, but you're going to be stationary. Okay? But if it's of the tithe, no matter where you're living at, in Israel, you had to bring your tithe to where I put my name at. Okay? So you may not eat within your gates the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine or thy oil or the firstlings of thy herds or of thy flocks, nor of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy free will offerings or heave offerings of thy hand. You can't do this. So He told him, you can eat meat, whatever meat you want to eat as of the road, as long as it was clean. He wasn't saying unclean meat. And when He says the clean and the unclean shall eat it, He's saying that whether you were clean or unclean, in your gates, in your cities, you could eat of those meats that were clean. Okay? But the holy things, His holy things, you couldn't eat within your gates. Anything that was to be dedicated to Him was a tithe. Your offerings. Whether it was a free will offering, Most High just want to give you an offering. I want to do something for you. I want to give you something just because of who you are and how good you've been to me. Just because you're Elohim. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I just want to show you some appreciation. That was your free will offering. Most High, I don't know whether I'm at peace with you or whether we are, you know, at odds. I sinned before. I bought, you know, a sin offering, but I want to bring a peace offering because I want to be at peace with you. These different types of offerings. Okay. He said you couldn't do those anywhere. You couldn't just do a peace offering at your house. You couldn't do a free will offering at your house. Okay? Or a heave offering. But thou must eat them before Yah thy Elohim in the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose. Thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservants and thy maidservants and the Levite that is within thy gates. And thou shalt rejoice before Yah thy Elohim in all that thou puttest thy hands unto. Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Because his priesthood is not really supposed to have a possession. Yah is the priesthood's possession. And He tells the nations, don't forget them. As long as you live upon the earth. And so when you go to Malachi chapter 3, and the Most High says, will a man rob Elohim? Will a man rob God? And they said, how have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. I commanded that you bring the tithe. And I commanded that you bring your offerings to me. And you have robbed me because you don't bring the tithe and the offerings. Okay? And so my house is without meat. My house is without bread. It's the people's job to take care of the house of the Most High. It's the people's job to give their tithe and their offering so that the Most High can take care of his. He says, the first 10% of everything that you have, the best of what you have belongs to me. You don't want to bring me your worst. You don't want to bring me what Cain brought me. You want to give me the leftovers. You don't want to give me what fell on the ground. He says, you want to always put me first and give me the best. If you go into your pocket, and I'm going to say it like this, if you go into your pocket and you got an offering you want to give the Most High and you got two $1 bills, one is wrinkled up and one looks pristine, he says, give me the pristine looking one. Have that kind of mindset that you're going to give me, you know, the best. Not whatever you have, you know, whatever just here. So it's a mindset, okay? But don't forget the Levite. Don't forget the priesthood. Even today, even though we don't have the Levitical priesthood, we still have a priesthood. And we have those men that and women that are assigned to do the work. It says don't forget them. When Yah thy Elohim shall enlarge thy border, when I enlarge your border, in other words, you're going to expand. You're not just going to be here in Israel. Because the goal was to expand the kingdom throughout the whole earth and to convert the entire earth. That's why I know that in our being scattered, the mission hasn't changed. We are supposed to be enlarging the kingdom of Elohim on the earth. So wherever we are scattered at, just like he sent Joseph into Egypt to prepare the way for Jacob and the family to be saved, when he caused Paul to start persecuting the church, it was for the spreading of the gospel. I need to get these people up off their behinds. Let me put some heat up under them. And so when you read that in Acts chapter 7 or 8, you will find that the Most High caused Paul to attack the church, to scatter the church, and they went about preaching the gospel where they were scattered. Now he uses our slavery to scatter us around the world and waking us up. We're in every nation. And every nation that we're in, we're supposed to be spreading the gospel of the kingdom and taking territory for the kingdom, expanding the borders. But instead, we're trying to fit in. That's why I said we have to start communities. We have to come together. We have to have communities. We have to be involved with the government of the world. I get so tired of hearing our people talking about, well, no, I don't vote. I don't take, you know, I don't take part in those things. We're waiting for the Most High to come and deliver. No, we're supposed to be changing the world to conform to the kingdom of the Most High in every nation that we're in. So if that means that we want his statutes, his laws, his commandments to be the law of the land, we have to do those things that are going to help change the law of the land. We can't sit back on our butts and say, no, we're not going to get involved. We're not going to do anything like this. No, we're supposed to get involved. We're supposed to be as wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. So if we want the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then we got to put people in office who are going to vote to put in the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. But we really don't want to do anything. And that's really the truth of the matter. We don't want to do anything. We just want to talk. We want to worship him with our lips. But we don't want to be doers. So this involves all aspects of life. Can't bring about a kingdom. And you got men's kingdoms all over the earth, and you're not willing to get involved to make them change, to conform to the commandments, the laws of the Most High. That's how homosexuality became legal in the U.S. All the homosexuals as a group got together and said, hey, we're gonna lobby for our rights. We're human beings, and we got the right to have sex however we want to have sex. We got the right, as they put it, to love who we want to love, how we want to love them. Every Hebrew, every Christian, for that fact, that matter, should have been up in arms. Should have said no. Should have gone to the polls and said, no, we're voting against this. We can't have that. It goes against the laws of the Most High. See, the Constitution of the United States is not about the God of the Bible. One nation under God. What God? Think about that. What God are they talking about? Is it the God of the Bible? Are they talking about the same God that you're talking about? Where in the Bible does the God of the Bible ever give man the option to worship him the way he wants to worship him? Where in the Bible does the God of the Bible give man, say, you make up your own laws, whatever you think is right in your own eyes, you make that the law. These are my laws, my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. So when they say one nation under God, what God are they talking about? We make the assumption that they're talking about the same God we're talking about. But when you actually look at it, if you're really being truthful, if you're following the Most High Elohim, he's not the same God. But they give you the freedom to worship whomever you want to worship. Are they worshiping the God that you worship? That's why I don't even like that word God. Because it's general. To a Satanist, the Most High Elohim is not God to them. Satan is God to them. And if a Satanist says to you, my God is wonderful, and you don't know they're a Satanist, and you just assume that because they say God, they're talking about your God too, then you might end up worshiping Satan and don't know it. That's why when you have certain conversations, you have to ask, who is your God? Because it's a nondescript, it's a generic term. That's why I say it's important to use his name. Because then there's no doubt as to who you're talking about. Well, I worship God. Okay. Who? What's his name? Somebody will come back to you and say, what's her name? Because they were in the world, female or feminine gods. Asheroth was one of them. Esther. That the world worshiped. And you got females today that are so against there being a male God because they're female. God's got to be both male and female. Or they refuse to worship a male God, so they worship a female God. And they make God female. And so you have to ask, God, tell me who you're talking about. You know, my roommate in New York, he was my landlord. When I got there, needed a place to stay. Turned out, you know, it was all the will of the Most High. It was his work. And you couldn't have set me up in a better place. And, you know, he would always say God. And he says, you know, I was having this conversation with this person, and they were talking about God. And I said, so which God are they talking about? He says, I don't know. I'm assuming that they're talking about the Creator, the God of heaven and earth, the God that created everything. I said, yeah, but, you know, a lot of people practice voodoo and witchcraft. I said, especially amongst the people here in New York, a lot of them from the islands. They practice voodoo still today and witchcraft and still say they worship in the Most High God. I said, so who are they talking about? He had to step back. I said, yeah, because that word is generic. So we have to make sure of who we're talking about we worship. Can't eat any flesh. Can't eat anything that is holy. Some people want to hold back their tithe. And they know it's their tithe. Well, I can't pay this bill. Well, the problem why you can't pay that bill is because you are holding back from the Most High. And he is not blessing you the way that you ought to be blessed. I remember when I was like 21, first time I got married. I've been married twice. And at that time, I didn't make a whole lot of money. And I had just gotten into, per se, the church. And I just started tithing. And we're looking at the bills. We're looking at our income and deciding what our tithe should be. And our bills, even without the tithe, was more than what we were making, her and I together. Our bills were more than we were making. And so, you know, when you're talking about eating hamburger helper every day, because you're on that type of budget, Roman noodles, because you got these bills that, you know, you've got to be paid, and then you're talking about paying tithe to the Most High off of what you, in your mind, you don't have. My bills, I didn't even consider tithe yet, and I don't have enough money. And she and I both decided, no, we're going to honor the Most High. We're going to pay the tithe first. And then we'll have to deal with the bills after that. So if we got to, you know, send a partial payment to a bill, however we got to do it, but the Most High gets his first. And we made that decision, and guess what? We paid our tithe twice a month, because that's how I got paid, that's how she got paid. We never lacked for anything. All the bills got paid, and we didn't have to make partial payments. We have money for emergencies. Money would just show up out of nowhere. Oh, you got a refund for this. You overpaid that. The Most High just started blessing us because we put him first. And our mindset was, you know, we're going to pay our bills, but we're going to pay the tithe first. And if we got to take away from the groceries or we got to pay a bill partially, then that's what we'll do. But we got to honor the Most High. And we were both in agreement on that. And we never lacked. Never lacked. And that taught me from that time forward, you pay your tithes. You honor the Most High. You do what it is that he says to do. Okay. Verse 20 again. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 20. When Yah thy Elohim shall enlarge thy border, as he has promised thee, you're not just going to live in Israel. I'm going to expand the borders of Israel. And thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh. Thou mayest eat flesh, whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. In the place which Yah thy Elohim has chosen to put his name, there, if the place which Yah thy Elohim has chosen to put his name, there be too far from you, you live far from Jerusalem. Then thou shalt kill of thy herd and of thy flock, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat it in the gates wheresoever thy soul lusteth after, even as the roebuck in the hart is eaten, so that thou shalt eat them. The unclean and the clean shall eat them alike. He didn't say eat unclean and clean alike. He says the unclean person and the clean person shall eat alike. Okay? Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life of it, and thou mayest not eat the life of the flesh. So whatever you're eating, you can't eat, you know, swine and all that. He's not saying whatever your soul lusts after as far as unclean. Because people will take those verses and say, see, he said, whatever my soul lusts after. He says, as of the roebuck and of the hart, those were clean animals. Okay. Thou shalt not eat it. Thou shalt pour it out upon the earth as water. So the blood we're not supposed to eat. Thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of Yah. Not right in your own eyes, but right in the sight of the Most High. Want to know how to live holy? Find out what's holy to the Most High. Find out what's right to Him. Live your life according to that. You find that you're doing something that is contrary to Him, stop doing it. Find out that you're supposed to be doing something that you're not doing, start doing it, okay? Only thy holy things, which thou hast, and thy vows, thou shalt take and go into the place which Yah shall choose. And thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings in the flesh and the blood upon the altar of Yah thy Elohim, and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of Yah thy Elohim, and thou shalt eat the flesh. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou dost that which is good and right in the sight of Yah thy Elohim. Verse 29. When Yah thy Elohim shall cut off the nations from before you, when he destroys them out of the way, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwell in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before you, that thou inquire not after their gods. Don't ask about their gods. If you don't kill everybody and you allow some of these people to live among you, don't be trying to find out who they worshiped and how they worshiped them. Saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Now, one of the things with Baal worship and why our people have such a problem with serving Baal, because we are a lot of, you know, most of our people remain carnal, natural-minded, running after trying to satisfy the flesh. And most of us like sex. And a lot of us got caught up in it, that, you know, we live for sex. Part of Baal worship was sex with the priest, with the priestess. That was part of their worship service. So Israel had a problem because even in Egypt, this was not considered like a taboo thing. You didn't have sex with another man's wife, but part of their worship and some of their rituals, they would have sex. And so when Israel is coming through the wilderness and this Hebrew man go and takes this Midianite woman who is practicing Baal worship, and she's a priestess. And he brings her back to the camp. And he's taking her to the tent, and he's about to have sex with her. And this other Hebrew man, Moses, you know, is like, what the heck? And the Most High is like, what the heck? And this other Hebrew takes and runs both of them through with this spear. Stabs them with the spear. And I believe he caught them in the act and just stabbed them both at the same time. Ran, you know, thrust through both of them with this spear and killed them. And the Most High said, all right, I'm satisfied now. You have, you know, redeemed Israel. But that was part of the worship. So he says, don't follow them after they be destroyed from before thee, or inquire after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their God? Because there might be something that they're doing that appeals to you. You're not allowed to do this, but they're allowed to do it with their God. He might say, you know what, that sounds good. I think I'll incorporate that into my worship. And I'm not saying that it's the sex thing. It could be anything. Sounds like it's something good to do. But the Most High hasn't told you to do it to him. And if you don't know what the Most High has said to do or not to do, you may incorporate that thing into your worship. And so it's important that you understand what the Most High wants. You don't care about what other gods want, what other people do in their worship service. Because they may be doing something and incorporating something that the Most High says, uh-uh. Like, let's say, with the Catholic Church. Come in and kneel down before the statue of Mary and Jesus. The Most High said, I told you don't build any image of anything in the heavens or in the earth or under the sea. You shall not bow yourself down to them. But that's part of the worship of the Catholic Church, even today. So you go in there, you say, oh, that makes sense. And because you can see it, you're not kneeling before this invisible being, but now you have a statue that's supposed to represent your master and your savior and his mother, and you're going to pay homage to them, so you take the knee, and you bestow adoration on them. The Most High said, don't do it. But if you don't know any better, like I didn't know any better as a kid when I first started, but when I had to start reading the Bible, even at 9 years old, I was like, he said, don't do this part of one of the commandments. But we're doing it. Oh, we make up our own commandments. We modify the law. We got authority to modify the law. And we worship the Most High, the God of heaven, how we want to worship him. I said, but right here it says, don't do this. So I told my mother I wasn't going back. And I truly believe, because even at that age, that the Most High was with me. I'm not going to let you corrupt yourself that way. I have a plan for your life. Did I do it when I first went there? Yeah, I did. I didn't know any better. But after you showed me, no, I wouldn't even go back. Because that's clearly not, you know, they're clearly not following the God of the Bible. But they say that they are. So he says, don't serve their gods. Don't even ask how these nations serve their gods. Even so will I do. Don't say that I'm going to serve the Most High like that. I'm going to make a statue of the Most High. I'm going to bow to it. I'm going to pray to it. I'm going to do this ritual. Because I read about it and they say they're doing it to the Most High. Sounds good to me. I need a breakthrough. I'll do that. No, you need to find out how does the Most High say to serve him and do only that. Let's continue. Thou shalt not do so unto Yah thy Elohim. Verse 31. For every abomination to Yah which he hates have they done unto their gods, unto their Elohim. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Don't do what they're doing. They tell you that they jump over the fire. They still practice this in some places today, even in the U.S. Jump over a lit fire. And it's the same equivalent to passing their children through the fire. The man or the woman will take the child, their infant, and jump through over this fire. Okay? And a lot of places call it a bonfire. So you have to research those things, the things that they practice. What's the rationale? What's the reasoning behind it? What things soever I command you, observe to do it. This is what you're supposed to do, not what's right in your own eyes, not what you were taught as a child. Because, you know, you got to check in those things even that you were taught as a child. You don't know what your parents got into. You don't know, you know, I know for a fact I was taught to go to church, you know, at Christmas, at Easter. It was encouraged, even though my mother and father didn't go. It was encouraged that we would go at that time. And then if we went, you know, any other time outside of that, it was not discouraged. But my mother actually wanted us to be raised Catholic. But the truth of the matter is, they weren't doing what the Most High said to do. And so you may have been taught and encouraged from a child when you know, those who are supposed to be leading you and directing your path and who you trust, who you love, they may have pointed you in the wrong direction. And they may have been doing it, you know, from a good heart, thought that they were doing the right things, thought that they were bringing you up godly. But at least they introduce you to God, and then God has to bring you into truth. Introduce you to the Most High, and he has to bring you into truth, to the concept of it. And so you have to check even what you were taught as a child. Is this what the Most High wants? Is this what he has said to do? Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish or take away from it. Don't add to what I tell you to do, and don't take away from it. Only do what I tell you to do, in other words. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. The book of Leviticus chapter 10. And it gets verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. Now remember I told you, when you look up the meaning of the name Nadab, it is liberal. And the name Abihu is worship, worship of the Father. I want you to put the translation of the meaning of their names into the verse, because it's teaching you something. And liberal worship, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereupon and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yah and devoured them, and they died before Yah. Liberal worship, worshiping the Most High the way you want to worship him, adding to what he said, he says, I burnt that up to show you. You don't worship me that way. I told you don't add to or take away from how I want to be worshiped. Here are these two sons. They're high priest sons, but their names mean liberal and worship. Liberal worship was burnt up. I don't play that. Only worship me the way that I tell you to worship me. Then Moses and Aaron, then Moses said to Aaron, this is it that Yah spake, saying, I will sanctify in them, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me, that come near to me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now Aaron just saw his two sons get burnt up. But Moses had already told him, this is the law. You don't add to it and you don't take away from it. All these ceremonies. The way that you do the sacrifices. You do it exactly the way that I'm showing you. You don't add to it and you don't take away from it. And he taught his sons the same thing. And then the Most High comes down to show his presence and they get excited. We're responsible for burning incense. We'll burn some incense right now. And the Most High looked over and said, that's strange. What he was saying was, that is out of order. That is out of place. You're not supposed to burn incense right now. I gave you a set time to burn incense, and when to burn it, and how to burn it. And here you are doing it out of order. He burnt them up. That's to show an example. You don't do me like that. You don't worship me the way these nations worship their gods, doing what's right in your own eyes. You worship me how I said to worship me. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. So he burnt it up. You got people today want to do their own thing, want to worship the Most High how they want to worship him, want to make, you know, say, this is my offering to the Most High, and this is what I'm going to do. Is it written? Did he tell you to worship him that way? Because if he didn't, it's not acceptable in his eyes. I don't care what your intent is. I don't care how good your intent is. He said, don't do it. He don't change that in the New Testament and say, oh, well, you can just come and make me an offering. Have whatever you feel like, whatever's in your heart. I know what's in your heart. The Lord knows my heart. I'm sure the Most High knew the heart of Nadab and Abihu too, and he burnt them up. They probably thought they were doing a good. I told them, don't do whatever they want to do. Yeah, they thought they were doing a good. This is what it got them, burnt up. And this is our example. We follow his commandments. We only do what he tells us to do. We don't do what's right in our own eyes. We don't worship him liberally. We worship him the way that he says to worship him. We don't add to it or take away from it. Go to 1 Samuel, chapter 15. The book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. And we're going to be getting, starting in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, Yah sent me to anoint thee to be king over over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken or listen thou unto the voice of the words of Yah. Thus saith Yah of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have. Now the Most High is directing Saul to do something. I remember Amalek, and I told Joshua, don't forget these people, that when we come into our own land and we're settled, that we were to go back and utterly destroy this people for feeding on the people that were at the back of the pack. So the Most High is calling Saul, I made you king, and I want you to now go carry out my word, the promise that I made, that I would destroy these people. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass, and Saul gathered. So the Most High said, kill everything. He didn't even want no children left alive. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, we did a study on the Kenites because Moses' father-in-law was a Kenite. Okay. Who departed, Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Did the Most High tell him to take the king alive? No. They kill everybody. Man, woman, child, infant, suckling. All the beasts. Kill everything. So he takes the king alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, why is he going to destroy all the people with the edge of the sword, but he's going to keep the king alive? This is a pride thing. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Didn't I tell you to kill all the sheep, the cattle, and the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them? But everything that was vile and refused, they destroyed. So everything that wasn't desirable, they destroyed. They killed all the people but the king, and they kept all the sheep and the cattle that they would have wanted to possess themselves, okay? And they're going to make the excuse that we kept it to make sacrifice to the Most High. Let's drop down to verse 12. Well, no, let's go ahead and read verse 10 and 11 and 12. Then came the word of Yah unto Samuel, saying, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yah all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of Yah. I have performed the commandments of Yah. Now, Samuel has already gotten the word from the Most High that Saul hasn't performed my commandment. He didn't do what? Did he go and kill these people? Yeah. Did he destroy some of what was in that place? Yeah. But did he do exactly what the Most High said? No. He kept the king alive and he kept some sheep. Now we're going to find out why the Most High doesn't like Saul. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of these sheep in my ear? Why am I hearing the sound of sheep? in my ears, and the lowing of oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from, now look at what he said. They, he didn't say I. He said, they have brought them, meaning the people. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahdai Elohim. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now it's we. They brought them. We did this. Okay? Saul didn't take responsibility. The Most High told him, go destroy all these people. So whatever happens, it's on him. If the people want to save the sheep, he should have told the people, no, I'm your king, kill them all. He saved the king alive so he could parade him around and show that this is a great victory for himself. The Most High said, I didn't tell you to do that. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, the verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what Yah has said to me in this night. And he said unto him, stay on. Because he's thinking that he's about to get a blessing. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Yah anointed thee king over Israel. He's asking him a question. When you were little, didn't I make you king and put you over my people? And Yah sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yah, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of Yah? You brought back spoils. You brought back things you weren't supposed to bring back. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yah and have gone away which Yah sent me, and have gone the way that Yah have sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, he's confessing that he just brought the king back. The Most High didn't tell him to bring the king back. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief. He don't see the king as spoiled. And the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto Yah thy Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has Yah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yah? Does Yah have more delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices than he has in you obeying him? But to obey is better than sacrifice. He wants your obedience more than he wants you to make a sacrifice to him. Obey him. Don't do what's right in your own eyes. And to hearken than to the fat of rams, and to listen. But for rebellion, when we don't do what he says to do, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The sin of witchcraft required death. So rebellion, being as that sin, requires death also. When we don't obey his voice, he says, you're supposed to die. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. They are things you don't do. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yah. He, Yah, has also rejected thee from being king. Saul lost his job for not doing exactly what the Most High said to do, not adding to it or taking away from it, not doing what's right by doing what was right in his own eyes, not following exactly what the prophet told him to do. And the prophet told him exactly what Yah said to do. Did what was right in his own eyes. Let's go to one more place, and we'll stop here for this morning. We'll pick it up on this evening and finish up this precept on this evening right in your own eyes. 2 Samuel chapter 6. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. get verses 1 through 7. You don't want to do what you want to do. You don't just make up something and do it. The Most High tells us in his words, in his own written word, what we ought to do. And if we can't find it in the written word, then we need to inquire of the Most High through prayer or through one of his prophets, through a holy man, a holy woman even. What is his will that we should do? And do exactly that. Don't say, well, you know, that sounds kind of crazy to me. Oh, that's just Brother Miles. That's what he think I ought to do. If you come to me and ask me what does the Most High say you should do in a matter, I'm going to go before the Most High and ask. And I'm going to tell you what the Most High tells me. And if you don't tell me nothing, I'm going to tell you the Most High didn't have a word for you. So I don't have a word for you. I'm not going to make up something. 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of Elohim, whose name is called by the name of Yah of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Amminadab that was in Geba. And Uzzah, I got to see how to pronounce his name, Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Amminadab drove the new cart. Now this cart, the Ark of the Covenant, was lost. And it was sent back from the Philistines. Let me make sure I got the right story. So scratch that, because I may have my facts wrong there. David may be moving the Ark from Zion to Jerusalem. I have to look and get my facts straight. But the ark is being moved, in other words, okay? And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanied the ark of Elohim, and Ahio went before the ark. And I'll see I pronounced that name too. Matter of fact, let me see. How is this name pronounced? Akio. And Akio, the son of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of Elohim. And Akio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before Yah on all manner of instruments. They were having a big parade. And they are celebrating. They're bringing the ark of fir wood and even of harps and of psalteries and on timbrels and on coronets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of Elohim and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, I want you to place yourself in Uzzah. In his place. The ark is being moved. The ark hits a bump or something, looks like it's about to tip over. You put your hand up there to steady the ark. You're not part of the priesthood. You're not part of the Aaronic priesthood. The only ones authorized to touch the ark was one from the family of Aaron, the high priest, even one of the families of the Levites. Let's say that you were not you were not of the offspring of Aaron, but you were one of the other Levites from one of their families. And you touched the ark, you would have died. The only one authorized to touch the ark is one from the family of Aaron, one of his descendants. Okay, and actually for even the people to be looking at the ark, I'm surprised the Most High didn't kill them all. Because he had been known to do that and said that in the law, if they looked at the ark and they were not authorized, even the men that carried the ark, when they picked up the when they packed up the tabernacle, and they would pack everything up, the men who carried the ark, who were assigned to carry the ark, couldn't look under the covers at the ark under threat of death. So the fact that the ark is being brought and is being displayed in public is a wonder the Most High didn't kill everybody. Just saying. Verse 7, and the anger of Yah was kindled against Uzzah, and Elohim smote him there for his error. What was his error? You're not authorized to touch the ark. If the ark fell off of that cart, it was my will. So do you think in his heart that he was trying to do a good? You think in his heart that he was, you know, I'm going to keep the Ark of the Most High from tipping over and being defiled, being dirty, maybe getting broken, dented or something. I'm going to do a good here. And then the Most High killed him. The Most High killed him for his error. And there he died by the Ark of Elohim. He was doing what was right in his own eyes. I think I'm doing a good. The Ark of the Most High is about to fall over. I'm going to stop it from falling. But I'm not one of the high priest family members. And he dies. The Most High said, I said who was authorized to touch this, and you're not authorized to touch it. And if I allow you to touch it, then everybody else is going to think that they can touch it. I will be sanctified before the people. You don't just treat me any kind of way. You don't just do what you want to do with me. You don't treat my holy things how you want to treat them. Whatever seems right to you, don't do it. Because I will kill you for that. Nadab and Abihu. It seems good to us to burn incense right now. I didn't tell you to burn incense right now. I told you there was a time to burn incense. And this was not the time. That's strange to me. That's strange fire. You burning it out of order. Got killed. Saul. I told you to go kill everybody, man, woman, and child. All the beasts of these people, I wanted everything utterly destroyed. You done went, and so you say, you let the people keep the sheep to sacrifice to me. I don't want those sheep. I don't want you sacrificing them to me. Then you done brought back some spoils, and you don't even see it in your own eyes, the king. I told you to kill everybody. You did what was right in your own eyes. You did what you thought would be a good thing. Brought you glory. So we'll pick this up on this evening. Because we need to know. We don't do whatever we want to do. Especially when it comes to the Most High. We don't do whatever we want to do. We worship him how he says to worship him. If he gives us a commandment, we follow that commandment. And we do it exactly how he said to do it. Let's bow our heads. Father, yeah. Father, we come before you to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, to obey your voice, that we don't go to the right or to the left, but that we do exactly what you say to do. Even those things that we might think are right in our own eyes, those things that we might think will be pleasing to you in our own eyes because we want to do something that's pleasing to you. You have told us what is acceptable to you and what is not. And you said, do that and that only. So, Father, open our eyes. Help us to understand that we might do your will and only your will under the threat of death, under the threat of being sanctified, being used instead as an example. Father, you have said that you will sanctify your people when you bring us into the wilderness a second time. And Father, many of our brothers and sisters believe that they're going to be exalted when you're going to treat them like Nadab and Abihu. You're going to treat them like Uzzah. You're going to treat them like Saul. You're going to be sanctified in us, the disobedient ones, to show that this is what happens when you disobey me. This is what happens when you don't follow orders. Father, help us and give us a heart to do thy will, to learn of thy ways, and not to make up anything. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we will continue in this precept on this evening. And we're going to look at the Pharisees. We're going to look at Paul. We're going to look at other men who did what was right in their own eyes. We're going to look at how long this has been going on. The Most High tells us in his word what we ought to do. And he tells us how he wants things. And he only wants it that way. So if it's something you don't know, don't make it up. Because you might think you're doing something that's pleasing to the Most High. And if he hasn't ordered it, it may not be acceptable with him. And you might not die immediately, but it was written down. And you'll be judged for your works. And he might say, who told you to do that? Where did you read that? That I commanded that? Did I come to you in a vision or a dream and tell you that? Did I speak to you in the early morning hours when I deal with my prophets and with my teachers? Did I direct your path in that way? Or did you make this up on your own? Did you read that one of another nation did this and it sounded good to you? Or did you read that this is what's commonly done and it sounded good to you, but you didn't check it in with me? Yeah, should I do this thing? Like me with that sacrifice, wanting to do an animal sacrifice. It was in my heart to do it. But Yah corrected my path and told me no and showed me in the scriptures, no. You will be out of order if you do that. It'll be a great sin before me if you do that. And he directed my path and kept me out of it. So in everything that you do, if you don't know for a matter, if you don't know for a fact, then you should do it. You should check it in with the Most High. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Don't do what's right in your own eyes, but do that which is right in the sight of the Most High. Shalom, family, and have a blessed rest of your Sabbath. See you on this evening for all who are going to return. Peace and blessings.
You, there's no